Hey, gang, I want to tell you about True Hemp Science Full Spectrum CBD products. They are fantastic. I've been using them now for a couple of months. I've used their balms. I've used their oils to sleep. And today, I'll be talking about a whole new product. Now, listen, True Hemp Science promises you premium quality, pure ingredients, and true value. They source the highest grade organic hemp from around the world to handcraft the finest full spectrum CBD products. They offer a complete line of CBD products, including full spectrum CBD oils, tinctures, CBD skincare lotions, CBD sports rubs, CBD gummies, and CBD gluten-free chocolates. They number their CBD products to differentiate them by strain, by farm, and by extraction method. Now, last week I was telling you about the number 81, which is great for relaxation and sleep. But today I'm going to be talking to you about number G41. That's full spectrum CBG plus CBDA plus terpenes. Now, this has given me some focus. It has some CBD in it, but it doesn't make you sleepy or tired or foggy in any way. The CBG kind of gives you some focus and it energizes your brain while keeping you calm and cool. You know what I'm saying? People report it relaxes their brain and does not affect cognitive performance. While it is calming, it is less physically so than CBD. It's great for working. It's great for getting your work done. I'm even using it right now. So, gang, how did I get here as partnered with True Hemp Science Full Spectrum CBD products? And if you use the code HDIGH, you will get something special. Purchase $65 worth of regular price products and receive 296 milligrams of number 81 distillate. That's the one I was telling you about. That's great for rest, relaxation, and sleep. Just go to truehempscience.com/HDIGH. For how did I get here? And you can also visit them at their brick and mortar store. That's right. They have a physical location right here in Austin at 505 West Mary Street, Unit C, Austin, Texas. Don't forget, use the code HDIGH. If you're already using CBD products, switch over to this one. I promise it's going to be great. You're going to love it. All these products are great. And the CBG, CBDA is unbelievable. Like I'm telling you, I feel very clear. I feel very focused. I haven't been drinking a bunch of coffee all day, and I'm not all anxious from coffee. You know what I'm saying? TrueHempScience.com, HDIGH. You're not only getting yourself some CBD, but you're helping us out here, right? By using the code HDIGH. TrueHempScience.com. Go get your full spectrum CBD products today. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself,
how did I get here? And now here is your host, Tommy Howdy.
All right, hello, I'm Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you guys have all been having a good week thus far and you're ready to have a weekend, whatever that looks like to you. If you're, if you have the weekends off and you go out and you do crazy stuff, or if you're like me, you get to work on the weekends. In fact, I'm getting to work today, Friday, April 8th, that's today, at 5 p.m., I'll be playing a solo acoustic set for Rock and Restock out at Circle C at their community center. I'll put a link to this in on the Facebook, on our How Did I Get Here Facebook page to let you know, if you're interested in coming to the show, what to expect. I'll be opening for the band Briscoe, this really awesome band, these college kids that are amazing songwriters and developed a rabid fan base, and I've already gotten a record deal with ATO Records, who signed the Black Pumas and all these other bands. So it's pretty exciting. It's all pretty exciting. So I'll be playing out there today, and you're probably thinking to yourself, like, hey, Johnny, you don't sound so good. I don't. Oak pollen is really high. It's off the charts. Worst it's been in years here in Austin, and I'm really allergic to it, and it caught me by surprise. I'm trying to catch up with it with medicine and everything I can possibly take, I'm trying to take. So maybe you want to come out to the Rock and Restock show today and see if I make it through my set at 5 p.m., okay? I'll put a link to it on the How Did I Get Here Facebook page. Get out there and check it out. Support Rock and Restock. It's a great nonprofit. Gives money to a lot of other nonprofits. And today, I am very honored to be playing. Also, it's free to the public today. Okay, so come on out and see me and Briscoe, 5 p.m., Circle C Community Center. That's Friday, April 8th, 5 p.m. Gang, I have an incredible show for you today. Incredible show. Felix and Sloan Lenz, who make up the band Lord Friday the 13th, returned to the show today. Now, I haven't seen these guys in a couple years, and we've been talking since last year about coming back on the show because they've been putting out some new music. They've been putting out singles, but they just released their brand new EP, Irrational Anthem, available now. You can find it at lordfridaythe13th.bandcamp.com or just go to their website, lordfridaythe13th.com. Fantastic four song EP featuring the songs Bigots Beware, Patent Leather, Silver Juice, and Saint Judy. I'll be playing the song Silver Juice right here in just a minute. Anyway, I haven't seen Felix and Sloan in a long time. They were on the show back in 2019. Now listen, they were back in the fall of 2019. That's when they were on the show, but they had just become a band like in March of 2019, and they fall into the sort of the punk rock genre a lot. But what I see them as is, since they grew up as like art kids and they're always doing something artistic, be it visual, be it some kind of audio, writing, performing, doing photos, just some kind of like art. They're always creating and being creative, that I think of them as like an art rock band. And right now they've chosen to put their art into music. And that comes out in like a very primitive rock and roll, like fervor, like an energy thing. And it's very exciting. So I guess it does fall into the punk rock category. But to me, they're an art rock band. Anyway, their brand new EP, Irrational Anthem, they recorded back in 2019. I think at the beginning of 2020, they went out to Ireland and recorded right before the pandemic went down. They recorded with some friends. They hung out with the dude BP Fallon, who we both know, who BP Fallon's been on the show. Look him up. He's very famous. Crazy story. Anyway, they recorded that. They ended up getting Brendan Benson mixed it from the Raconteurs. And this EP is available now. Go to lordfridaythe13th.bandcamp.com. It was great catching up with Sloan and Felix. They're such nice people. Like, they're so fun to talk to. They're so creative. They're so funny. And their view of life is very innocent and very sweet, but at the same time, very real and very clear. So we sat out by the pool the other day here at my apartments, and it was really nice. And we just had a really, really great conversation about what they've been up to the last couple of years, how they handled the pandemic. So without further ado, please enjoy my conversation with Felix and Sloan Lenz from Lord Friday the 13th. Let's get down. We had our podcast in like October or November of 2019, right?
We were having that conversation in the car. Yeah, we were like, when even was that? Like, yeah, that was a very long time ago.
18 years ago.
Yeah.
But that was really, you guys were in, you guys were a band for just a matter of a few months at that point.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I guess I remember we posted a picture on Instagram that was like the start of the band, and then we didn't do anything with it. That was probably November of 2018, I think.
I guess so.
And then we didn't have a show until March of 2019.
Yeah, so, and even that wasn't like...
It was like the two of us.
Right.
The two of us. I think when we talked to you, it was right after we had played kind of our first full band show.
With Anar and like...
Yeah, and I think that's where
I heard about you guys.
Yeah, that would make sense.
And today is Anar's birthday, isn't it?
Oh my gosh.
Shit, I haven't called him. You're right.
Birthday. I need to message him.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Anar, if you're listening.
Yeah. From the future.
Yeah. You know what's so interesting is, does Benjamin Violet still play with you guys?
He is not our bassist right now, but we kind of shift through people all the time.
What's funny is I had seen his band that morning or something on the news.
Remember when Pelvis was on. Was that like KXAN or something?
It was something that sound was off. I remember and I saw them and I was like, I gotta hear what this is. I put it on and I loved it, and then you guys were playing with them the night that I saw you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he ended up playing bass with... he played bass that night.
Well, yeah, I mean,
And Einar played drums.
Einar was our drummer.
Yeah. Even though Einar obviously is like primarily a bassist, he did very well on the drums.
I don't know, man. Some of the stuff that he's been playing drums on is pretty insane these days. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's really good.
Good. Aww. I'm glad to hear that.
So I loved your music. We had this whole podcast, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's a directness in simplicity when someone isn't a virtuoso on their instrument. Like, I've been playing a lot longer than you guys, but I'm still not that virtuoso. There's still like that. So I always connect with like someone that can give you a message in a clear way. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the songs were concise and all this stuff. But now, this new EP, Irrational Anthem, you guys have grown a lot musically. Like, now there's keyboards and stuff on stuff, and there's like, you know, you've kicked it up a notch.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. I mean, I think a lot of that with the recordings was heavily influenced by the people we recorded with also.
Okay, so let's talk about that. Is this what you did in Ireland?
Yeah. So, okay. And when we were talking in the car, I didn't even realize that when we talked to you, it was before we had recorded or anything.
Yeah. I think we had maybe had Big Mac.
That's the only song
we had done on a previous trip to Ireland in like a last minute. Do you want to try this? And so I think it does have a slightly different energy to it. But definitely, we went to Ireland in March of 2020, like right before.
Late February.
True.
And got back in early March, which was surreal.
So very surreal. But we went up there to play a show in Dublin. And no, that was the time before.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. My memory, just a warning, my memory is scrambled.
We have been changed by these times.
Oh, yeah, mine too. You can't tell if something was a month ago or a year and a half ago.
I literally made a list on my phone just in case I like couldn't remember what had happened for the past 2 years.
So, okay, I'm totally wrong. We played the show the trip before when we recorded.
So this
Big
trip
Mac.
In 2020 was specifically to record. We're going
to
be there for 5 days. And, like, we have all these songs written, just, like, the bare bones elements. And then we went over there, and our friends Pete O'Hanlon, Evan Walsh, Becky Walsh, Ross Farley, and Sam Garrity, they just, like, we would sit with them and, like, be like, here's the song. Someone plays it on the acoustic guitar, and I, like, yell whatever the words are.
And
then they
Just lay down the drums because he's, like,
they're extremely gifted musicians.
Yeah.
And so they would just kind of take that, put their, like, input into it, and then we'd build on that.
Yeah.
And,
so we did, like, recorded two songs a day for 5 days, and then we have like 13 now.
Yeah,
so we have like an album ready to go, and that's what the EP came off of,
and it was all basically supposed to be released like later in 2020.
Yeah. Sure, right.
But we were like, how long can we milk these recordings, because we don't know when we can like go back at that time,
and we wanted to like go on a proper tour and like promote it and like do all of that, and that clearly became not an option. We just tried to like release little tastes, and like,
and we still are in the process
still
of that.
We have so many unreleased songs still.
I feel like even our live shows have changed so much from like 2020.
We have a saxophone player now.
Which
is a lot of fun.
Yeah, Marshall Lowry has been playing sax for us for really only a month. We played a Twin Peaks tribute show at Vegas. And we were like, well, if we had saxophone to our set, that'll be very Lynchian. So then we loved it, and we were just like, can you keep doing this with us? And
it's been really, really fun. It just like adds this whole like, I don't know, I think it kind of ties in more to like that early New York kind of punk, like New York Dolls kind of
brings
energy
a little
that,
bit more I guess like glammy influence to the punk.
There's a thing, the natural swagger that especially you have sort of, Felix, on the stage, lends itself to glam rock, like just that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You feel that sort of like whatever that is. What is that?
Yeah.
Cool rock star shit.
That's just my love of attention, I think, more than anything.
Just beaming.
Yeah, it's like, it pushes me on to beg for more attention, and
There's another question I have for you guys, because I couldn't figure out where this came from, but didn't you guys record with Brendan Benson?
So he has been mixing for us, actually.
Yeah, he's been mixing.
So did he mix this?
Mm-hmm.
He did mix our last EP, and he's mixed he's mixing our next EP right now.
And we love Brendan.
Our manager, Holly Nixon, knows Brendan from, like...
They had worked together. I think she had recorded something with him
when she was doing music. And so she was like, I would love to connect y'all and just see, like, what happens. And he's done such a good job on everything so far.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So I didn't realize he had mixed this stuff. That's awesome. So, how did you... So she got you guys in touch with them?
Yeah. And then I have no idea how Holly met Brendan, I guess.
I don't either. They've known each other a long time.
Just for a long time, right?
Yeah.
And so... that's awesome. Were you guys familiar with his music? Or when she said his name?
Yes. I mean, I'm a huge Raconteurs fan.
Me too.
And a huge Jack White fan. And,
honestly, the second Holly even suggested that, we were just like, how can we make that happen?
I think that's that Steady As She Goes song is easily one of the best songs of the 2000s.
It's like iconic.
Song-wise.
It is iconic. Yeah. Yeah, for
great
sure.
Great song.
No, yeah, totally. And then, our friends in Ireland are huge Brendan Benson fans, too. We didn't even realize. And it just, like, was this cool synergy of serendipity, I guess.
Yeah, very crazy.
Uh-huh. A dream come true.
Do you guys hear that? It sounds like Big Brother's, like, stop doing interviews for your podcast.
Oh, weird.
I hear that. What
It's the guy telling the people to row. Yeah, the crew people.
Oh.
It did sound very... dystopian.
I mean, what isn't dystopian?
Can I tell you what's funny, though, is like, you guys by a pool is kind of funny. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's not where you'd imagine to find Lord Friday the
13th. We don't even know how to dress to be near a pool. Like, I'm sweating right now.
Velvet, long sleeves.
It's weird. I was just talking to someone 2 days ago, having like a ridiculous conversation about like, hey, why don't any bands have like a guy that plays sax anymore?
Oh, yeah.
And
really?
That was like a full on thing.
Yeah.
Like Bruce Springsteen just had a guy.
Totally.
And he was like, when there was two guys on the cover, it was him and the sax guy.
Yeah. Totally.
A key pillar of the music itself.
Yeah, man.
I feel like Alex Cameron is bringing that back a little bit.
That's true.
He's got Roy Malloy, who's like his sax guy.
Do you know Scott Collins?
Do we know Scott Collins?
No, I don't think so.
He worked with Frenchie, too. But that's who I was having this conversation with.
Okay.
And I said, let's each start bands with saxophone guys so we can start bringing it back. So people think, like, shit. So it is actually coming back.
I feel like it is. Y'all getting on that would only further submit it's happening.
I feel like Cap Yak has been doing, like, that's where
we kind of know
Marshall from, is from Cap Yak.
Yeah, Marshall's been doing sax for them for several years, I think.
Yeah. And so, I think in certain circles it's been circling.
But I do love the idea of like giving the sax player like a full-on pedestal.
But what does he do when he's not playing? That was the thing that we got into. Does he
Marshall kind of plays the whole time.
Yeah, Marshall has found a way to
work
give
his
it
way
his all the
song.
Whole time, which is incredible.
Well,
honestly,
it's what we wanted. Like when we got to rehearsal, he was like, "Okay, so like, what did you want me on?" And we were like, "I mean,
just
I guess
do
kind of all of it.
Whatever you want to do." And he's doing a fantastic job. I need to get better at paying attention to what's happening on stage, also, because I have no idea what anybody else is doing.
I mean, you're in your own world, and I think that's where you should be.
I think you and Marshall had kind of talked about incorporating some antics
on
of some sort.
On a bit of some
sort.
That's what I liked about you guys, though, is that you have such a straight man foil for Felix's insanity. Like, there's just like, I'm just playing guitar over here, okay? And I'm rocking. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, you play until your fingers bleed every time.
Every time, yeah. I don't know how to stop that. I've tried to stop it, but it won't stop.
Yeah. Oh, here was the question I had. I was thinking today when I was brought the first group of stuff down here, I thought to myself, I wonder if they're going to bring their mom again.
Oh,
how's she doing?
We seriously considered, but she wanted to rest, which is fair, but she drove
great.
Us here.
Yeah, she drove us here.
And she's doing very well. Yeah,
she's just running some errands right now.
Not much has changed.
Yeah.
I mean, she's still a very grounding presence in the world.
Yeah,
and
I feel really grateful throughout this like quarantine and everything to be like, to have our kind of like family unit.
Oh, yeah.
To, like, not be,
well, so
like,
many people we
this.
Know, at least at the beginning of lockdown, so many people we know like moved back home and mm-hmm. we didn't have that extra step. We were already living with our mom. And so it was like, okay, cool.
She's
this works.
The best.
Like,
yeah.
We're kind of a small community. Like, I feel like the three of us are almost
it almost
one
seems,
being
that seems
yeah.
normal when you do that stuff because you guys were homeschooled
yeah.
and all that stuff
totally.
And like yeah
she's more I mean like
we've,
she's our mom
we
obviously,
definitely
but
reached the we're roommates
or like
part
yeah
of our life.
Like friends roommate like it just like yeah like we I obviously we would love her even if she wasn't our mom like I
yeah.
feel so lucky
the dynamic
that she's
has fully shifted to just three contemporaries
three's company baby
yeah
So, okay, so you go to Ireland, you record 13 songs in 5 days.
Yes.
Brendan Benson at that point was going to mix it?
We didn't know who was going to mix it.
Okay,
yeah,
but you
yeah.
finished recording. You're probably coming back here because you probably had South by shit going on.
We
yes.
absolutely did. We were
in 2020.
We yes. were official, and I remember there was a party.
You had been a band for a year.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
And you were official.
I'm so grateful that it happened
yeah.
that way.
Yeah.
But you know, I was talking to somebody else earlier today about this, and she has the same kind of thing. Grace Sorensen, she's
uh-huh.
an R&B
okay.
singer. She's 19.
Mm-hmm.
I thought what I saw was like, you know, her, you know, I thought she'd been doing music since she was like 8 or
yeah.
something.
Mm-hmm.
I saw her first show with a band,
uh-huh.
and I had no idea that that's what that was.
Wow.
It blew
wow.
my mind.
Yeah.
Because some people, like, there's people like my age and Anar's age that are like, motherfuckers didn't pay their dues.
Oh, yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean?
I think
oh,
that's fair.
Totally,
who
totally
starts a
fair.
Fucking band one March and the next March is already official? So that means you were official by November or December.
Yeah.
So you weren't even a band like, right? So
yeah,
okay,
I mean,
but,
I don't
but
know.
But the thing is you came out fully formed. Some people just, they don't need to go out and beat themselves over the head.
I mean, we,
to figure out who they are. You guys came out with a very strong identity, an identity that it was so strong, better than probably you were at making music at that time.
Well,
that
is
you
for
were
sure.
More
yeah.
than you knew how to play.
That is 100% for sure.
It shows
yeah.
you how strong that is.
Well, thank
an
you.
Identity and identity, and it's the most important thing. Because you could be a but who cares if you
yeah.
don't have an identity
yeah.
or a character?
Totally.
I mean, I appreciate that.
That
I
is
think
very kind.
Definitely
yeah.
like through visual arts, we kind of figured out who we were. Mm-hmm. And then it was like the music was just kind of a new outlet
yeah.
for that.
Yeah,
you know?
And for the narrative and for this like kind of mission or whatever.
And I mean, honestly, the character of Lord Friday the 13th was not conceptualized before
when
we started playing
yeah.
shows. Like it just kind of, I feel like it all kind of naturally evolved into what it is now, where I have like a full-on costume that's like my set, like wings and teeth and nostrils and all that. But
don't you think that I get the feeling like this is like, if you see you guys in 2 years, it'll be altered in some way?
Yeah,
oh yeah,
like maybe
totally.
You won't have wings anymore. You have horns.
I am
like,
not the kind of person that can be consistent for
yeah.
an extended
I
period
feel like
of time.
From week to week, you're like, I'm throwing out my or like donating my entire wardrobe.
Yeah.
Like I need a new. Like I need.
So it will
yeah.
always be something else
yeah.
for sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just as we continue, otherwise I don't think I'll be able to think of anything if I'm trying to stay in one like vibe
right.
for too
yeah.
long.
Yeah. yeah. That's the thing, and I can't remember if I said this last time. I feel like you guys are like a like not a punk rock band. You're an art rock band. Like
yeah.
You're gonna be doing something, and just right now you've chosen to do it with music.
Yes.
Well, yeah, and I think punk, like, obviously the energy of punk is something we really identify with, but musically it was almost like the lack of skill made punk like the obvious choice, you know.
Right.
This is the most raw outlet for a musical concept that doesn't need to be polished or like perfect, you know,
and that can kind of develop as it goes along.
Yeah,
too.
And like, it is because you guys have grown musically, and it's it shows, like, wherever you grew in 2020, I mean, so that's fast. So God knows even where you're at now.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Okay, so what I was getting at before with, so you must have had South by stuff. It all gets canceled.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What happened then? You with your mom. So everything was cool, like, in your life.
Yeah.
But, like, did you go nuts?
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah.
Go ahead.
You go first.
Well, it was crazy because, like, we're in Ireland. For a moment, we are scared we won't be able to leave Ireland because there's certain rules.
Well, that was a thought. And then I was like, I'd be okay with this.
We'd
like,
okay.
I'd marry one of my friends over there and we could, like,
we'll just become
have a beautiful Irish life.
But then we make it to London, our connecting flight, all of that. So then we have to spend the night in the airport in London and we're, like, getting emails from our manager, like, tell it, like, fill out your rider for your showcase, like, they want to know, like, what kind of drinks you want, like, all this stuff, and we're like, whoa, this is crazy.
Well, the understanding was that everything was still going to happen, but it was becoming more and more obvious that something was seriously wrong.
Yeah, like, so we may get home, like, I think we get home the 11th of March, and we, like, we had a show that night.
Yeah,
at
was
Hotel
that the
Vegas.
Same night? We came home and saw The Exorcist.
The
11th, we had a show.
Yeah, we have a show. And then the show, like, people are unsure. Like, it was, like, the first time, I think, that we had experienced, like, people being like, do we hug? Like, what's happening with
I was very consciously thinking, like, okay, I'm yelling basically over these people and like spit is going,
like,
to come out of those yells. Like, I don't really know if this is okay right now.
And then then everything shuts down and it's clear South by isn't happening, and then it's like just kind of a spiraling moment.
Day three of being at home, we were like, it's been so long. I don't know how I'm gonna last, because I think at the time we were under the impression that it was going to be like 2 to 3 weeks of hard lockdown.
Yeah, sure.
And so we were like, how are we not going to go hit at Bolden or like whatever?
I remember our manager called us, and she's very like on top of things, just like worldly and stuff. And she was like, I think it's going to be like a 2 week lockdown. And I just like broke down. I was like, how am I going to like stay at home for 2 weeks? Like,
yeah, because we were just the kind of people that like would come home to sleep. And
yeah,
like that
we were
was
just
pretty
like
much it.
Out all day or like traveling all the time or whatever. And so it just seemed inconceivable. And then I feel like the first like month or so, I had a really hard time. I was like, I can't work. What am I supposed to do? Like, just kind of like, I feel like I derived a lot of my like, worth, I guess, out of like work and whatever.
Yeah.
But then you, I feel like, were like,
part of me was like, this is my dream. Like, now I can watch everything I've ever wanted to watch and play everything I've ever wanted to play. Like, just sit and be a child again, basically, for like 2 weeks.
Yeah, and then I feel like we kind of switched after a couple months.
Yeah,
and then like, yeah, I don't know. It's been like
we've gone through so many different
phases.
Right? Yeah,
that first. It's funny that you say that, Felix. That first month. I know I did a lot of podcasts.
Uh huh.
That was it, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I watched so much TV.
Oh,
I watched all of Tiger King in one day.
Yeah. Oh, I think we were maybe 2 days.
Maybe 2 days,
so,
but
yeah.
we were close.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like, and it was kind of like that thing. It was like, you know what? I need a couple weeks of nothing.
Yeah. I mean, there was like the constant feeling of fear and dread like in my gut, but it was... That was not enough to keep me from just like completely relaxing while we were at home too. I was just like, I don't know what this means, but right now nobody needs anything for me, and that's how it's going to be the next little bit, at least.
There was something, a little bit freeing about being able to be like, okay, like, this is totally out of my control. I can't do anything. Nobody else can do anything. Like, we're all in this, like, almost, like, bonus time or, like,
exactly.
It was very weird,
Yeah, and so, like, I feel like, at least for me, I went through waves of, like, feeling, like, a comfort in it or, like, this, like, cocoon, like, safety kind of feeling. And then just freaking out. Like, yeah. I would just have days where it was just like, what is life for?
Oh,
like,
me too.
Like, my early 20s are gone.
Oh, like, yeah. I had turned 22 in 2019,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm 22. Like, yeah. I've had 1 year that I can go to bars and not be, like, policed by somebody.
Yeah,
yeah.
And we don't even drink or anything.
No, I just,
like,
there were
dancing.
So many times I couldn't even go see, like, a Fringe show because I was under 21. And I was like, I'm finally able to go do everything I've wanted to do. And, like, my life is essentially on pause for, like, until
further notice. Yeah. Like, and then it just kept getting extended. And then it was like, is this ever going to end? And like, I don't know. Yeah.
Truly thinking about where we are now compared to where we have been is crazy. Like, if I ever feel,
like nothing's changing or something.
Or like I'm boxed in now. I'm like, I'm so free compared to where I had been.
Yeah,
man. Yeah. Those first few months, like, I just started smoking weed
by
the time I woke up. Like, I was just like, shit, man, I'm going to get baked.
Right.
I'd be all high, like, walking around.
Yeah.
They closed the trail for a while.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, they did. They closed the trail for a few months.
God, I didn't even know that. I don't think we left the house enough to even be aware of that.
I had to have some kind of, like, they closed the pool. They closed the weight room. Just kind of became this weird, like, well, at least now I can go walk on the trail all day. Nope.
Totally.
Yeah.
And then, so I'm just walking up streets and stuff.
Yeah.
And you see someone coming and you're like,
like, what do we do?
The jump across, like, when on our early, our neighborhood walk got progressively longer and longer to where eventually it was like 3 hours because we couldn't stand the thought of returning to our house.
Yeah.
And where the thing of seeing somebody and darting to the other side of the road then kind of being like, I'm sorry, like, I'm not trying to make you feel like you're contagion or whatever, but like, I cannot walk past you right now.
Yeah. God, that was just awful. I
crazy.
That.
Yeah.
So, okay, so you got through that. Then then things started coming out. Now you're playing shows again. You played this South By.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, so much fun.
Third year being official, but first
year in person, because we did the 2021 like virtual year. And that was fun. Like, Hotel Free TV put together our like digital showcase, and so
they did a great job.
It looked good and it was fun to record, but obviously having no audience is like not very fun ever.
No, this year was really, really
such
fun.
A good time.
Oh,
we the first thing we did was like right before South By officially started, and it was Hotel Vegas's like 11th anniversary thing
kickoff party,
and oh my God, it was the first, I would say it's the first show back that has felt
like it used to.
A good normal show.
Yeah,
like I crowd surfed and it was like, I'm happy to see a lot of people here. Because for a while I'd had this
scared.
Weird like guilt of like, there better be less than 5 people here. Or I'm going
to
be like stressed out.
You don't want people to get sick because of you.
Back.
Yeah, that happened to my band last summer with when the Delta came.
And it was like things had
shit,
felt
had
better.
Sold out and shows at 310.
Oh, gosh.
And it was like, should we cancel them? And it was like, we also need to fucking eat.
Yeah, totally.
And
it's such a weird dynamic. Yeah,
just so much to manage, and the emotions of like every time it's felt like things were better, and then but
and then just getting past the feeling like you're gonna like kill the people you love,
or feeling like other people are poisonous. Like,
did you guys get it?
We got
did
COVID.
You ever get it? Yeah.
We have not tested.
I mean, like, when we first got back from Ireland,
I think we had it then.
We were sick.
Okay, yeah. There were people that were coming
and
back
I have
from
no
their European
idea.
Tours
yes.
super sick.
Yeah.
Because,
like, the day, I think, the day we got to Ireland, a group of, like, school kids had just come back from, like, Italy, and they all had COVID, and that was, like, it lined up with our timing getting there.
Yeah.
But then essentially recording, we didn't leave our friend's house the whole time. But then we had a night out in Dublin on the way home that I think I might have done.
But we met Sinead O'Connor, so I think it was worth it.
It was worth it. She is very elusive. Yeah.
Where?
She was, so there was a party at this place called Workman's in Dublin. And it was like, there was a film festival going on, and they had just done like a documentary screening about the Boomtown Rats.
Oh, cool.
And Sinead O'Connor.
Fallon.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, go ahead.
Sinead O'Connor. BP Fallon.
Yeah.
He's been on the show.
Yeah. I love BP.
He invited us and the boys to the screening as kind of like a, we wrapped the album kind of party or whatever.
And so there was the, like, an after party thing at Workman's, and Sinead O'Connor was there because she had been at the screening of the thing. And
BP introduced us.
BP was like, please come meet my friend. And we were like, oh my God, okay. And it was a very, very short, quick interaction, but it felt
forever changed.
Holy, yeah.
He is like one of the most interesting characters
really
of all of rock and roll.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
He's been
there for all of.
He's been a part of everything in weird ways. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the DJ of U2 concerts and
playing bass
with John Lennon on the fucking.
Give peace. No.
I think it's Instant Karma. He plays on the BBC appearance.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, is that when he's like?
Like
there was some show that he famously pantomimed.
No, we love BP.
He's just truly a magician, like in the truest sense of the
totally.
Word. Yeah.
And like a hustler, like a weird hustler. Like, so how did you get to know the Beatles? Well, I was Paul McCartney's weed guy.
Right.
Yeah. that's how you get in there.
Yeah.
No, whenever we're together, like, I feel like everything he says is just like a holy, like, you know, like piece of wisdom.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, so I'll like always try to remember, like, journal things afterwards, like little things he said. One time he told me, don't fuck with the universe or it'll kill your roses. And I was like, those are words to live by.
He has an actual gift for just speaking.
Yeah.
Like, even conversational speaking is magical with him.
Yeah, totally.
Totally, yeah.
That's so funny. I tried to get him to, like, I was talking about Led Zeppelin, and I was like, Jesus, so you were, like, traveling with them, like, in the 70s?
Uh-huh.
So was it as wild? He was like, I don't talk about my friends.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
It's like, you are killing my, like, everyone listening to it right then was like, no, dude.
Gotta keep the magic.
We love the boundaries, BP. We love the boundaries. Yeah.
That's why he's probably been around so long.
Exactly.
He's not out there telling everyone's stories.
Yeah,
that is totally. Real. Music is it's been a scary, dangerous place.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so
sorry.
He
someone that was that close to like so many people that I like Mark Bolan, like,
oh yeah. My God,
hanging
I know
out with him all the time, like Jesus.
Yeah.
No, totally.
Yeah.
And he managed Johnny Thunders.
What a weird career.
I know. Like,
just unreal. Yeah.
Oh my God.
And to be so nice too.
And you were on his turf. Like, I met him here.
Yeah. Well, so we initially met him in Austin during, I think it was like,
would have been a South by of like
2015 or 16.
That's when I interviewed him.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, he was coming through, and I had
interviewed him for
our music blog.
I had a music blog when we were teenagers, and that's kind of how we met, I guess. And then he was like, "I'm coming to South by. Like, will y'all?" They were making a documentary about him, so they were like, "Will y'all come and like film and like take photos and
so
whatever?"
So we basically like followed him around for the whole week, and that was a wild, fun ride.
It was wild. We were both under 21 at the time, and like
he was so nice, though. Like, everywhere we went, he managed to get permission for us to come in, which is not easy when there's like the temporary South by door people that are like extremely
strict.
I know,
but he also seems to have. Do you guys see Star Wars?
So I have not seen Star Wars, well, but I am familiar with Jedi Mind.
Yeah, there's a part where they pull up and the guy's like, "Hey, who are these droids?" And then he goes, "These are not the droids you're looking for."
Right.
These aren't the droids we're looking for. He seems like he can do that to people.
Absolutely. I witnessed it happen a few times, and it was truly like insane.
Yeah. No, we don't let anyone in on under 21. Yeah, but you'll let them in. Okay, go on in.
Literally,
Basically, I had to like, one of the venues, they had to open up a door behind the stage, and then I had to lay in the door frame to take
technically
photos,
to be like outside of the venue.
He's amazing, but
so we got to know him through that, and then when we were over there, he also knows the friends we recorded with over there.
Okay.
And so he invited like the whole group.
That's nice. So this South by, how were the shows? The shows were good. Did your manager come down?
So she lives here.
Okay.
She had been in Nashville until last year.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was still 2020 when she moved back.
She had lived in, I think, Minnesota before, and then was here, and then Nashville, and then back.
But she
here,
is in Austin now.
So. What year is that shirt from?
Oh, so it's...
2005. Yeah.
This is actually a band shirt.
South by Southwest golf tournament shirt, yeah, which I'm sure you played in.
Well, yeah.
When you were three.
There is a band called Welcome to Heck here in town, and this is one of their, they use reclaimed shirts.
Oh, cool.
And so this, it has their little thing.
Oh, awesome.
In the back. But I do think it's hilarious that it's from a South by golf tournament.
A relic. Yeah.
Okay, so, I just meant, did you get, like, is there stuff going on? Did you guys get any cool write-ups?
Yeah, I mean, we were in a publication in D.C.
Uh-huh, and they had interviewed us. Austin Underground, we did an interview with.
And I think that should be coming out pretty soon.
KVRX, I think, covered a few things. I feel like there was, some kind of, sorry.
No, I just feel like if I was coming from somewhere to see bands and... God knows, I don't know how many bands this year, but 1,000 bands or something. And you come across you guys in a sea of sad dudes with acoustic guitars or weird computer people. And then all of a sudden you see this rock and roll. And in the way that, there's no rules to what you do. And that's what it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And to see youth embracing that sort of organic freedom. Rock and roll is there's a freedom, don't you?
I mean, I hope that's what I want to bring
person.
Across.
It's it's so freeing that you can be in little tiny underwear.
Yeah.
And a cape.
Yeah.
And some weird shit on your face. You know what I mean? How freeing it is.
It definitely is. It's such an outlet for just anger and energy and everything that I feel I can't express in daily life.
Do you have anger?
I was a very bitter brooding child. I just didn't like anything. I didn't like going to basically.
did you notice that you were?
I mean,
I'm weird.
It was almost
why am I so bummed out? Because that used to happen to me.
Yeah, it was it kind of became a part of my identity, I think. And I hung out with a lot of anxious teenagers when I was
eight, nine
years old. And so I think it kind of rubbed off on me. And
yeah, your best friend was 16, this emo 16-year-old photographer kid.
I don't know. I was almost a crotchety old person as a child. And then as I have gotten older, I don't get angry about a lot.
I feel you're way less angry. I feel like we almost traded also at some point.
True,
as a kid, I was I've never been angry. I don't even, anger is, such a weird emotion. I've never felt this, whatever. And then, I feel obviously, I was just bottling up a lot of things that have, I feel more recently come up for me. But I feel you have, been able to, manage.
Somewhere in the past probably 5 or 6 years, I feel I was able to let go of a lot of things that didn't matter at all and, realize that they didn't matter at all. Mm-hmm. And so... more than anger, I guess it's
you're just kind of no bullshit vibes.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe just energy. I have a lot of built up energy. I get restless if I don't do something physical pretty often. And I feel now our shows are my biggest physical outlet, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you do? Do you get physical at rehearsal, or do you?
No, and I always feel awkward at rehearsal if we're with new people in the rhythm section that I'm I promise I do stuff on stage.
Because
I'm I know I sound literally horrible right now, and you're probably what are you even doing here? And I'm I promise it's a show when it's showtime.
I feel you're very, other than going on walks, you're pretty, energetically sediment until we have
sedentary
shows.
Sedentary
sedimentary. Greyhound.
Yeah.
And then when they let you out of the gate, you're running.
About when you do vocals in the studio?
So I think when we recorded last, in Ireland, I was still pretty, it still was all very new, and so I felt kind of shy initially. and focused a lot more on like the actual
singing notes.
And then I think now, like, we recorded a thing remotely with our friends in Ireland, and another guy on drums in, and
we recorded here with Louis Lino.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so that won't be coming out for like probably at least 6 months.
Year.
But
yeah.
I felt like in that I was so much more comfortable already, just after like playing more shows and like getting more of a sense of like what I wanted. And it was more physical in the studio. And I feel like that influences the way it sounds,
well,
too.
Yeah,
like, if
totally.
You're putting that energy out, it's going to capture it more like it sounds at our actual shows,
right,
you know?
Right. Yeah. I bet that's a tough thing to do for you guys, because there is an element of energy at your shows. Mm-hmm. Like, I've been in bands before that, like, people are like, how do you get whatever you guys are doing on stage? Like, in the studio, it's all, like, more calm. And
right.
Like, so where's the crazy, reckless abandon? Because it's hard to do it in that controlled atmosphere.
Yeah. No,
and you're not feeding off of anything.
Yeah, because it is true, going, like, piece by piece, you don't even really have the vibe of the song until
it's kind of,
like,
done.
Drums, guitar, and bass are, like, laid down. And so...
plus, we weren't performing really before we recorded. We kind of recorded, and then we're like, how are we going to do this?
Play these songs? Because our sets were so short before recording. Yeah, and now they're like still short, but more standard.
I think you
standard.
Guys, when I saw you the first time, maybe you played 20, 25 minutes or
something. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Or and maybe now we're like 25, 30 minutes.
Maybe, depending on how much I talk. And like, I would love to experiment with doing like... a studio recording where we all play like as a band, like record the room.
Right.
And I feel like eventually that would be something cool to do more regularly, because that would give it much more of like the raw edge of like a show.
Yeah. Well, like we did a session for Space.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And that was kind of,
it was closer.
Vibe.
It was still chill because I didn't have a lot of room. And so I was like, I couldn't run or anything.
Somebody I know that did one of those was like, we brought a bunch of friends.
Oh, yeah?
Oh.
Yeah. To the space session. Yeah. That's a great
cool.
idea.
We did ours very much in the pandemic, and we were very, like...
scared.
So we were like, we all wore masks.
But
you didn't wear masks.
They did such a good job recording it, and, like, the way... I was really happy with the way it looked and everything, but it definitely was, like, a more still environment, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think experimenting with different ways of recording is going to be, like, our next... frontier that's going to be really fun to like explore.
Totally.
Yeah.
Do you guys do any home recording, like when you write your songs, do you lay them out like in GarageBand or something?
Yeah, we've literally do like voice memo, or have so far, like iPhone voice memo
demos
to send to people before we record. And then we kind of
just you playing guitar and you singing.
Sounds hilarious sometimes if it's like acoustic guitar.
It's
kind of fun to like listen back to them and be like, oh, this is the same song, but also totally different.
At its core, it's the same.
Weren't you guys gonna do last time you were on? Were you gonna about to do some stripped down show?
Probably.
I think that was probably the one in San Jose.
Yeah, exactly. What it was. And you guys were like, we don't even know how we're gonna do this.
Well, we've only done a few like that because it makes me extremely uncomfortable. Like it's so. Intimate and just like
for Lord Friday, it just doesn't feel.
If we play a song that's essentially like the same four lyrics for like 3 minutes, that's fun, but also like it does not feel the same when it's chiller.
With, like the presentation that we've been kind of working on like solo, like just like experimenting with like how could we write in different ways or record in different ways.
Well, we've realized. Doing any kind of songwriting, like every song we write isn't going to be a Lord Friday song.
Yeah.
Like the ones that fit that vibe fit it, and then the ones that don't, we don't want to just like throw away.
So we've been trying to just like use those ideas as like kind of just like practice things.
Yeah, like a learning experience of home recording and stuff. Because I would love to be able to do that more. It would be really nice to have that freedom.
Yeah, and just learn more about like
the foundations of music and what
and
goes into
recording
it.
Software and all of that.
And also all just the intricacies of recording.
Oh yeah.
Totally. I think we used for like that one demo that we did like forever ago, didn't we use a microphone from a karaoke game for the PlayStation 2?
Yeah, I had this old USB microphone from that, and it
got the job done.
It did, but it would be really fun to have better equipment eventually.
It also changes your it changes your approach to the actual creation and writing of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I didn't start off on, like, when I was a kid, it was four-track cassette.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Which,
by the
different.
Way, you guys should have one of those, because it seems like you guys would excel on one of those things.
It'd be cool to have, like, an analog recording situation. Yeah. We almost recorded with a guy that does, like, all analog.
In L.A.
He has, like, a 24-track, or what is it?
Yeah. I don't know exactly what it was, but it's, like, set up in his car, so it's going to be, like, this little car studio thing. I still think we should do that at some point.
But, no, it has such a nice, like...
That's like a physicality.
Yeah, you kind of know, you see, okay, if I do this, it means that.
Yeah.
Rather than like mysterious, like,
yeah,
tech
where, like,
world
it's
of
like,
music.
Well, then, I hit a button and it's gone.
Yeah.
Right. And then you start getting into stuff and you realize, like, why does it feel like the chorus is dragging? And then you're like, well, let me get this tambourine and shake it.
Yeah.
Right.
And then you're like, oh, that's why people do that.
Yeah.
Because it lifts everything.
Right.
Yeah. Just weird things like that. Yeah.
No, I mean, everything we're doing is a continual learning process.
Truly,
and
truly.
Like, that's fun. And it has times when it's not fun, when we hit like a wall and it's like, I have no idea what I'm doing.
But I hope it's always like that.
Yeah.
You know what?
Boring.
It is.
Yeah.
Okay,
it always is. And not only is it because, like, you think about, like, the approach to, like, recording onto a tape as opposed to onto a hard drive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, you can manipulate the tape by the level of volume that you hit the tape. Mm. You get a cool, weird compression that when you do that on digital, it's like...
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's always stuff, and technology's always changing.
Yeah. True.
And, I don't ever want to know everything, because that would be overwhelming.
Yeah, I don't think you can.
No, yeah.
Luckily.
Yeah.
So... Are you guys planning on going on the road at all?
Yeah, so we did like a mini tour in September.
In September, we went up to Minnesota to open up for Low for a few shows for their album release.
Yeah, and then
we
came
toured.
Home for like a week, and then went up to Square Lake Festival in
Treefort.
Or yeah,
Square Lake
was
is
Minnesota.
Where we were in Minnesota.
This was Treefort in Idaho.
Nice.
After. And that was really, really fun.
How was that?
Really,
like,
good.
Honestly, such a good time. We had never been. Really,
to Idaho.
Direction.
Yeah, we played a few shows in Colorado on the way up, and that was really fun.
And then it was like leading up to my birthday, so we spent like a week in a cabin after that in
after
California,
Treefort.
And that was really beautiful.
Yeah.
But, Treefort is amazing. They take care of people like nobody else.
Yeah, highly recommend Treefort. Like, it's like kind of just like a mini South By, and like just kind of the whole city of Boise is taken over by it, but they like... It was really cute. They had, like, gift bags for all of us that
from,
were,
like, the school
the
children
art school.
In
they,
town.
They, like, themed and, like, drew, like, ours had a little pumpkin
awesome.
On it. It was really cute.
And they just, I felt like they understand...
punk?
Well, yeah, that was one thing.
Very DIY kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, I always forget that different places have different crowds for music. Like, somehow that always slips my mind. And, like, Austin does have a punk scene, but it's very... I feel like it's really underground, and a lot of it is so hardcore that it's like not always like into more like experimental DIY or whatever. And in Idaho, there were just like a lot of people that actually seem to have reference for like our inspiration.
Yeah, like, and just, I don't know. It's really nice for a tough, like, older man to be like, y'all are like the real deal, like, y'all sound like the Ramones, like, sign my t-shirt.
And the guy working the door, and I was just like, wow,
just like,
he actually understands,
like,
what we're trying to do.
Yeah, because sometimes you do worry about, like, do people like not take it seriously, or like,
and it doesn't matter.
Or like, are you gonna be the weirdest people that ever went to Boise?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
is
it gonna be too much for them to even take in the music, because they're like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah,
it's just nice. every once in a while.
To feel like somebody gets it in a way, yeah.
But we are planning to, we had a whole tour routed. We were going to do like LA and San Francisco and
that was
Seattle
right around the time.
Delta?
I guess it was Delta. Yeah. It's hard to keep up with which one is which.
Yeah.
But
so
we
had to cancel
cut
most
back
of that.
A lot of stuff, but then still did some of it, which was nice.
But then we're planning to do a West Coast run in May. So
great.
We have a Seattle show that we haven't announced yet, and then
we're gonna try to,
do an LA.
Look up and around as we go, because we're going to drive. Just because that drive is so fantastic.
Oh, yeah, it's gorgeous.
The best. Yeah. And then we're hoping to get to New York the end of the summer and spend a few weeks up there and play a few shows and just kind of... we met some really cool, New York bands during South By, actually, that were sweet. And
well, yeah, that was something cool this year at South By Southwest, was I felt like a lot of it, a lot of the connections, quote-unquote, were just, nice personal connections with, other bands.
That's the best.
Yeah,
just, bands that we met, waiting in line for the artist lounge
that were just
or whatever.
Nice
that
people.
That were,
nice.
And now it's, now we know some... I mean, we knew people in New York anyway, but just, I don't know, just built that community more and
And it felt a little bit more
organic.
Yeah, or, grassroots and not it definitely didn't have the energy this year, in my opinion, of you go and get quote unquote discovered, and which I don't think it's had that vibe for a long time now.
Yeah.
But
but it felt like between
it felt
all
more
the
like
artists,
communities coming together to make a larger community.
Sure.
Yeah. So we're hoping to do a little bit of touring this summer. And
I would love to.
Yeah. But West Coast for sure.
Yeah.
I can't remember if I'm playing on April 23rd, but you're playing at ABGB.
We are.
It's going to be a good show.
Yeah. It's with Veronica Peach, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
it'll be our single release show or whatever. And,
I love ABGB and Paul and that whole situation. It's
just
a great time.
Fun time.
Yeah.
And we have a couple shows in May. Seattle and LA, and then we'll be playing in San Antonio for the first time.
Yeah,
nice.
I'm very excited.
Where at?
It's literally, I think, a field by a ditch. It's this punk DIY.
It's going to be cool, I think.
Yeah.
I've seen lots of moshing on the event planner's Instagram, so I think it'll be a fun crowd. And I feel like San Antonio has a really good, young, anxious upswelling of people that would actually be into that.
Yeah, yeah, we have a lot of family in San Antonio, and so it's about time we play.
It is. And it's so close, too. It's going across town, basically, to get to San Antonio from here.
Do you ever have any family that sees you play and is like, oh my God, what is wrong with you guys?
So
you gotta have that part of the family.
Our dad's mom, I think... I don't even show her a lot of stuff because I'm she doesn't need to worry about that. And then,
because they'll worry.
Absolutely. Yeah. She used to...
What is he on? And the thing is, you guys are straight.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And it's like, Grandma, I promise, we're probably a lot better off than even, a lot of our other family right now. But in the drugs and alcohol front. But
even when you just had green hair.
Oh yeah, she'd tell my dad, please tell Felix, I'm worried about his safety if he goes around dressed like that, which is a sweet angle. It wasn't like she just doesn't approve of me, but she is scared for me.
Yeah. But then I mean at least she I don't
she
know.
She cares.
She
and
tries to be y'all are playing South By, that's cool.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And our mom's mom knows much more because she's on social media a lot.
Yeah.
And so she's pretty chill. Sometimes mom will tell us that she'll respond to something personally, to mom.
Oh, yeah.
And be like, oh, this picture is scary. Or
yeah.
Which is sweet. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And then I think most of our cousins and stuff just have known that we've always been weird.
Different.
And so,
And then I don't think either of our grandpas know.
They're completely unaware of everything
because
they don't care about Facebook or Instagram.
Yeah, I don't know what they'd think.
I don't know. They know that we're surviving right now, and so I think they're
just happy.
I don't want to hear about it.
So odd.
Yeah.
I'm not even, I guess I was crazy at times and dressed wacky on stage, but I've sometimes
yeah,
those family members are like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Well,
people can see you.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm grateful that our family has been like pretty supportive of us.
Well, and I think it's because it's been a consistent thing our whole lives. Mom is one of the more weird individuals of her family, dad's the weirdest of his family, and so like they've all kind of been prepped through our entire lives and sometimes I forget that too. I'm like, oh wait, my grandparents like do have context for me being life. Bizarre as a child and like
and
accepting
even,
that.
Yeah, even just things like our grandpa like wanting us to go to law school or whatever, and then like having, you know, to
he
have like those
gave up on that a long time ago.
I feel like they've kind of come to a place where they're just like, okay, y'all do what you do,
and they
and
see
that's okay.
They see that we're happy and like healthy and stuff
about,
and I do feel really grateful no one has fully like shunned us, because I know that is a very real experience that happens to people all the time, and so it's mainly just like tiny pressure here and there to like change, but
but not microaggressions probably.
Exactly.
So like the full on like
it's no screaming matches
they're generally very supportive,
and that's a miracle, honestly.
Can I ask you a weird question about cassettes?
Yes.
People are buying them, aren't they?
I'm thankful. Like we only ordered
a run 100? Of 100 for these
originally, and I think we have
We don't have that many left. Yeah, there's also this vending machine in town that does cassettes. They're called the Nine. But we're like in that, and like I feel like people like the novelty of the
having
cassette
that's
and
physical
what I've seen.
Media.
Yeah. So nobody has a cassette player.
Well,
I mean,
I know we have one, and we never use it.
Yeah, we never.
But
use
I
it.
Think
and I buy
it's,
cassettes, so I don't. Know
for me, it's definitely like just to have an item of a band I like or whatever. And we weren't going to do CDs, and vinyls are like outrageous for small batches.
We'll do vinyls, I think, when we release the whole album. But
when is that going to happen?
Probably like early next year.
Maybe the end of this year.
Maybe end of this year.
I think we'll just see how this next EP rolls out. Because planning things is obviously very, it's all up to whatever the universe decides.
We're already like writing the next album, and so we like want
to
I would love to have it out.
And so before long, we're just going to like roll it out, and I would think end of this year / early next year for the full album, more than likely.
Yeah.
But EPs sooner.
Yeah, we have a single coming out end of April, and then we'll release several more in
the because our biggest complaint is like, why don't y'all have more
music?
You have four songs on Spotify.
And it's hard because we have the whole album there, but we just like can't do anything with it yet. And but we're dribbling it out, so it is coming.
Yeah.
But, this summer will be the next EP release, so that's something soonish.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
The Irrational Anthem's great. It really is, and it's awesome to hear the growth, like artistically, and to see that you're on some journey, and to be having been around from the beginning of it and watching it is pretty exciting.
Well,
I really
appreciate that. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks for having us back and having us in the first place.
Honestly,
when we were like hardly a band even then.
Yeah.
So we
but you
really
weren't. You were totally
it.
A band. You were fully. You came out fully formed.
Thank you.
It's weird,
thank
but
you.
Shit, it's awesome. Save yourself a lot of heartache and work.
Thank you.
Have a great rest of the week.
Thank you too.
You too. Right.
Yeah.
That's Sloan and Felix Lenz from Lord Friday the 13th. Check them out. Get their EP, Irrational Anthem. You can find it at lordfridaythe13th.bandcamp.com. Check them out at lordfridaythe13th.com. You can see them April 23rd at ABGB. They will be playing. I don't think I said that in the intro, but they are. Go to lordfridaythe13th.com for all of your Lord Friday the 13th thing needs. And I would like to thank Sloan and Felix for coming on the show. Great talking to them again. Always great talking to them. And gang, when you're out there checking out LordFridayThe13th.com, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast wherever it is you find podcasts. You'll get new shows every Tuesday and every Friday. All right? Great conversation with those guys. I want to thank Felix and Sloan for doing the show. And also, hey, if you're listening to this show the day it comes out, Friday, April 8th, I will be playing a solo acoustic show at Circle C Ranch, or Circle C Community Center for Rock and Restock today at 5 p.m. All right, you can go check out what's going on our How Did I Get Here Facebook page. I will put a little ad for that on there. All right, have a great weekend, whatever it is you're doing. Let's get down.